Are my Epiphany girls in the room? If you are, just raise your hand. Epiphany girls? Are they all gone? Oh, there's one of my Epiphany girls. Thank you. So, listen to me, Epiphany girls. I want to tell you something really kind of cool. Carol and I were up in Seattle the last few days. My daughter lives up there, so we went up to see them and celebrate our two birthdays with my daughter and her family. And she took us on a tour of a couple of places up there we'd not been to yet. One was the Chihuly Glass Museum, which is a spectacular, I can't even begin to tell you what that place is. If you want to see the things that can be done artistically with glass, that's worth every penny. It's just amazing. But then she said, hey, would you like to go to the Bill Gates Foundation Welcome Center? Well, you see, Bill Gates is kind of a big deal up in Seattle. He lives in Mercer Island, which is a fancy upscale residential community. And he has a lot of money. And so he started this thing called the Bill Gates Foundation. And really, when you begin to read what it is about and what it's doing, it's just all fabulous. So we go into the Bill Gates Welcome Center. We listen to their stuff, and we see some of the exhibits, and we walk by. And it's just like a museum anyway. It was, and we got to the back, and here was an Epiphany board. But their Epiphany board was spectacular like ours. What they had were like note card racks, right? And then sheets of paper. And what you were to do, then they had little questions like, I am going to, or from now on I will, or in my life I want to. So it was just a whole bunch of blank cards with these leading questions, and then people were responding what was on their heart. Now, mind you, they didn't get to this part of the adventure just at the beginning. This was after they had gone and seen exhibit after exhibit, film after film, of how the Gates Foundation and others are helping people from around the world with every kind of disease and problem with water and all these wonderful things. And so having become a servant, it just draws you into service, right? Having become a servant through the whole thing, you get to the end, and now what are you going to write down? With the rest of my life, I want to. And you got to fill out these cards. And we spent some time, didn't we, Carol, just kind of reading their version of an Epiphany board. So I encourage you, don't shrink back. The reason there's only a couple on there now is the girls are removing them, and we're saving them for a later collage of some kind, I'm sure. But if God has spoken to you some kind of a recent awareness, the idea was that as we are going through the scripture, as we are reading our text every week, that God will speak. Not necessarily what pastor is speaking about, but that God will speak to your heart. And that in that weekly reading, you can say something that this is what God has shown me in my spiritual journey this week. And then you write that on the card, and we'll collect them and begin sharing them more. Okay? Okay, I like that. Mike Morrison has an announcement.
Well, there's two.
Mike's got two announcements. All right.
First one is you.
First one's my announcement about, in your bulletin, we are having a movie night, and it's Pizza Fellowship and Movie Night, Sunday, May 22nd. We're going to show a short film, or maybe two short films, by Ray Vanderland. Ray Vanderland is a biblical scholar, a magnificent theologian. He goes to Israel and the Holy Lands, not just Israel, with his camera, and he takes us in the actual place, the physical place where the Bible stories are taking place, and then he gives us marvelous teaching from the Word of God while you're actually right there. So it's kind of cool. It saves you at least $10,000 every time you watch the thing. They're all good. And at the end of every one, I go, oh, wow, that was really good. Oh, boy, we ought to show that in church. I'd not have a job if we just showed those. So, but this one coming up is going to be, it's a teaching on marriage. It is It is just a phenomenal presentation of how God designed the thing that we so commonly and quickly use just with the word marriage, as if we understood what we were saying. And we all know that God's human marriage is type and shadow of spiritual marriage, correct? What he is trying to say about this human experience is that this is kind of the practice ground, isn't it? And maybe not even practice is the wrong word, training, or the beginning experience, or if you want to learn things, you're going to learn here. But here, he's got a goal, doesn't he? So I encourage you, whether you're single or married, doesn't matter, whether you're widowed or divorced, whether you're so young you're not even thinking about it, come and learn this wonderful teaching. And it really is, God is talking to Moses. So, I mean, that's just a hint of how cool this is. Go ahead.
So I'm passing around the sign-up sheet for it. And we need that so we know how many weeks to buy.
Am I on? Yeah, it is. The other thing is, this is election season. And we all know that the national election, we don't really have much say in it because it's usually resolved before it even comes here. But this is an election that it doesn't matter whether you're 10 years old or 100 years old. You can vote for because it's going to affect City of Banks. And what it is your property taxes, whether you're a renter or a owner of a home, you're paying property taxes. And years ago, the county came up with a program called the Major Streets Transportation Improvement Program, MSTIP. And one of the projects that's on there is bike lanes on the City of Banks. Now, the reason why this is important is because there's 50% more projects on the list than there is money. So without votes, they're going to pick somebody else to get the money, and it won't be for banks. So I'm encouraging you to go to, if you have a computer, you can go to mstip3e.com, and I'll put the list of projects over here on the table so you can take a look at it. There's also some meetings you can go to if you would like to do that. But the important thing is, your vote will count because not many people will do this. So if there's only 100 voters and 50 of them are from the City of Banks, guess what? We're going to get a project out here. So we have the linear trail on one end. We have another trail that's coming on the south end. And you're riding with the log trucks on the main street here. So that's why we need this project. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. In your bulletins, please pay attention to the Men of Dayspring announcement. The next session in our John Eldridge teaching will be on May 23rd, Monday evening, at the Nelson home. So it will not be June 4th at the men's breakfast. That'll be session 10. Okay. Any other announcements or news to share? Yes, sir, Gary.
One real quick one. Young Life Golf Tournament is next Sunday. Kind of afraid. We've got 50 golfers already signed up for it. There's going to be many hit the camp from the Bank area. And if anybody's interested, we've still got room for a few more golfers. New Sunset Grove. Just come. We'll put you to the courses. The four band scramble. You can be a horrible golfer and still have a blast. Great chicken and rib dinner following, and a lot of great prizes.
Amen. Amen. Would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians? The book of Galatians. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul opens his letter, if you will, with a prayer. This is a fabulous prayer. Here it is, Galatians 1, 3. May the grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ live in you. He is the very Savior who rescues us from this present perverse age dominated by evil by giving his life according to our Father's will to deal with our sins. May God's glorious name forever receive honor. Amen. How would it be if we began our human letters like that? Wouldn't it be kind of great if you were writing a dear someone letter and you began, "May the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ"? I mean, we don't take the time to even anchor our regular letters with that kind of thing. It would work really well for us if we did. If you page over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, he does the same thing. "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, who grants us every spiritual blessing in these heavenly realms where we live in the Anointed, not because of anything we have done, but because of what he has done for us." Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I have to ask the question to wake you back up. It's not because of what we have done, it's because of what he does for us. Like you, my life can get so full. I'm not complaining. But life is rich and full and wonder. I mean, it's amazing. But if we're not careful, it's all about our life. And not about him. It now happens to me on a regular basis that I'm confronted with the words of Doug Turpinning, who taught us last week, trust in him. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Good word.
It's a great word. It's a word that we could actually use every week. Christians come together, what should we do? We should trust in him. Our reading this week began with chapter 4 of Galatians, and so I want to focus on some very essential aspects of how we can trust in him. How do you know that you can trust in the Lord? In fact, if you were trying to share your faith with some other person, whether they were a nominal believer or didn't know Christ or were from another country, you're trying to share your faith, it usually gets into some arguments about whether the Bible is real or not and whether angels exist. And I mean, we argue about the dumbest things. What people really want to know is, if you believe something, is it working for you? I mean, you say you have this faith system and you have this God. Well, why should I have that faith system? Why should I believe in that God? Shorten it down. Why should I trust in him? Listen to these words. This is chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Listen, I'm going to explain how this all works. When a minor inherits an estate from his parents, although he is the owner of everything, he is the same as a slave. Until the day set by his father, the minor is subject to the authorities or guardians whom his father put in charge. It is like that with us. There was a time when we were like children, held under the elemental powers of this world. When the right time arrived, God sent his son into the world, born of a woman, subject to the law, to free those who, just like him, were subject to the law. Ultimately, he wanted us all to be adopted as sons and daughters. Because you are now a part of God's family, he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit calls out, "Abba, Father." You no longer have to live as a slave because you are a child of God. And since you are his child, God guarantees an inheritance is waiting for you. no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Yes,
I'm no longer a slave to debt. I am a child of God.
Yes,
I am no longer a slave to pornography. I am a child of God.
Yes,
I am no longer a slave to anger. I am a child of God. Can you think of a word that you would put in there that you are no longer a slave to? If it was you who are making the statement to God, I am no longer a slave to or of, do you have something that you would put in there? You don't need to shout it out loud if you're embarrassed, but can we say as we move through this next week, not only God, I'm coming to trust in you, but make declaration, I am no longer a slave to that thing. Like my friend Tim Tubro likes to say, I'm dead to that. And the devil says, oh, you are? Watch this. And he throws a temptation right in front of you. If you spend too much money, he'll throw a whole wish list in front of you. And then you'll get all the ads and all the sale flyers will come in. And then Amazon will run a special. And you get to say, I am no longer a slave to waste. I am a child of God. If your problem is relational, as if any of us had such a thing, do you think we as Christian people can go to the Father and begin to trust Him by declaring our freedom? Or are we so bound up? Are we so addicted to whatever that we've given up? Christianity as a religion is failing. Jesus Christ as a Savior is victorious. Maybe I have to get to the absolute bottom of whatever it is that's controlling me and put me in slavery before I can come and say, wait a minute. I just read here in Galatians, just in the first couple of verses of chapter 4, says, I'm a rich guy. I am wealthy beyond comprehension. Bill Gates has nothing on me. I'm going to start a foundation that is more charitable than you can comprehend. I am a child of God. How would it change us if we began to act that way? We're going through this little welcome center, and my daughter was telling me that Bill Gates was not always so revered in the city of Seattle. In his younger days, when Microsoft was growing and growing, and he was making piles of money, treated like a lot of businessmen who were getting wealthy, you know, the less wealthy weren't so happy with him. And then he built a home on Mercer Island, which is a mansion to behold. It's just a multi-million-dollar spectacle of a place. But it's hidden out of sight from the common man, so why would the common man care? Well, because the airplanes fly by and they take pictures of his mansion and then they spread it all over the news, right? And so then the people were really upset with him. Now, just follow what's going on in his life for a minute. He starts out as this college kid with a couple of friends. They invent something. They don't know if it's going to work. It works beyond comprehension. He starts making money, right? What do you do the first thing that happens when you start having some money? Really, what are the first thing you do? Wait, when you first got your first job and started to have your own money, what did you do with it? You spent it, every dime and then some, right? When you got your first job away from home, did any of you open up a house for the poor? Did any of you begin an orphanage? No. The first thing you do when you start to have something that you haven't had, you start to enjoy it. And I don't even mean it in a spirit of selfishness. You've just been deprived for so long, you start to spend it. Okay. Then you get more money. Now you're wealthy. What do? Well, you buy boats and you buy airplanes and you buy big houses. Folks, after a while, you can only spend so much, right? I mean, you can only acquire so many things in. And I am not saying this as a Christian testimony because I know nothing about what happened in the man's heart. But somehow he and his wife decided they wanted to start giving back. Right? I think the giving back part is going to end up being the most impactful on the planet. It'll be the giving back to mothers to save their children that'll be much more important than whether or not you can open up a computer.
It was his mother's death that woke him up, because his mother was, I think, Catholic and was extremely charitable, and her passing that, he was a bachelor, so it's a good Mother's Day.
It's a great Mother's Day. The Bill Gates Mother's Day. Listen, I'm not trying to glorify Bill Gates at all. What I'm trying to do is get you to understand that you are wealthy beyond comprehension. Paul says that you are an heir. Whose heir are you? Wow. And what has to happen in me and you? Who has to die in our lives to wake us up? That we have this tremendous inheritance to share with others. And I know what the enemy does. I know how we get to, I don't have anything. I can't do what he does. I'm not gifted like so and so. I watch these kids play the piano or the violin or play their musical instruments, and I covet that. Do you know what I'm saying? I just wish I could do that. And so I have a guitar at home, and I play it sometimes all by myself. And I'm terrible. And I realize why I'm so bad at it. It's because I don't practice much. I want to just be able to pick up the guitar and be able to play, you know, wonderfully. You can't. It takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Folks, your inheritance is available if you'll engage. Are you with me? Your inheritance is there. God will back you up when you begin to invest in the things of the kingdom. We could fill this room with, I'm sure, if I started to ask for testimony about how you have reached out, gone beyond your comfort zone. How many people could say, I've gone beyond my comfort zone in something and God showed up? Let me see your hands. All right, so you know what I'm saying. You could answer that. Yeah, you could fill that in. And some of you may be saying, I don't have enough to share. I think you better go back and read Galatians. And understand what it is that you're an inheritor of and whose. Chapter 5 summarizes in verse 1 one of the areas of your inheritance. He says, so stand strong for our freedom. Stand strong for our freedom. What kind of freedom is he talking about? Is he talking about freedom from the Egyptians? Freedom from the Romans? He's talking about freedom from sin. Stand strong from your freedom from sin. Is there anybody in the room who could admit that sin has a grip on you? So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. Amen? God, I confess, forgive. Is that how that works? I confess, He forgives. What have I just inherited? Have I just inherited a load of shame and guilt? God, I confess to you that I didn't handle that situation with my wife in a very loving way. I confess to you, O God, that I need help as a husband. What is God going to do? I can tell you what he does. He sends me to my wife. Lord, I want to be better at this. And then he gifts you with a way to be better. God, I confess to you that I'm not handling fill in the blank the way I should. Is he going to beat you over the head and tell you what a jerk you are? Or is he going to say, I forgive you, go and sin no more? I love that. I love that he's saying, I'm not here to condemn you. And I'm actually kind of encouraged that he says, go. It's not the sin no more that has me all bound up. Now I'm free. Amen? Verse 6, chapter 5. What makes a difference is faith energized by love. If I am someone who says I have faith, but I don't have love to go along with my faith, then I'm kind of like the banging of a gong, he says elsewhere. Lord, I've got faith to do this thing. Well, then let's empower that faith with love. God, I know I'm an inheritor of your kingdom. But I'm not going to use it out of pride or out of my capacity. I'm now going to go to someone and love them with what you've given me. Verses 13 through 15. Brothers and sisters, God has called you to freedom. Hear the call. Do not spoil this gift by using your liberty to engage in what your flesh desires. Instead, use it to serve each other, as Jesus taught through love. For the whole law comes down to this one instruction. Are you with me now? The whole law comes down to this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So why is all this vicious gnawing on each other? If you're not careful, you'll find you've eaten each other alive. It's kind of a weird translation. Here's my instruction. Walk in the Spirit. Okay, so let's start connecting the dots. We come with fresh understanding that we are inheritors, yes? That God has available for us every possible thing more imaginable than we can comprehend. It's there. All we have to do is tap into it and begin to energize that faith with love. What kind of love? The love of serving someone else. And the thing is, it's just impossible. Without God. It's impossible without God. Because what will happen is, if you reach out, try to start serving others, if you're going to get something in return, then you're going to get taken advantage of and you're going to get mad. And then when you get taken advantage of and then you get mad, then you're going to not only quit serving, then you're going to get bitter. And then you're going to fill your face with all kinds of lousy stuff. Right? When the word was, go out there, drum roll, go out there and die to yourself. Because only by dying to yourself are you going to live again. I want the things of God. The only way I get the things of God is to die to self. Right? I think this is so cool. Because God is asking me to do what sound like impossible things. And he says, yep, for you, it's impossible. What does the Bible say about impossible things? It says, with God. Wow. You're way ahead of me. You probably read this week. You probably don't need this, but I want to close with Ephesians chapter 1. I would like to take another 10 or 15 hours talking about the difference between the flesh and the spirit, but we've done that quite a bit. I think you understand the dichotomy of the two, yes? There's the walk of the flesh, there's the walk of the spirit. How many of you like the walk of the flesh? Oh, come on, don't be such liars. You all love the walk of the flesh. How many of you would say, I like it if it feels good, tastes good, smells good? Huh? I sure do. God says, walk in the Spirit and you won't carry out. Actually, that carry out is a kind of a weak translation. It means you won't be in bondage to the things of the flesh. He's called us to freedom. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It's the prayer I read about earlier, and there's a little editor's note in between there if you can hear it. This is the voice translation. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, who grants us every spiritual blessing in these heavenly realms where we live in the Anointed. And here's the little commentary. Not because of anything we have done, but because of what He has done for us. God chose us to be in a relationship with Him even before He laid out plans for this world. Can you even understand that? Before the foundation of the world, what does the Bible say? Huh? It not only did He have a plan, but He says He knew you. He knew you before the foundation of the world. And so obviously listen to this, folks, about planet Earth for a minute. You people that like to go green and be ecologically oriented. Before God even made this thing, He knew you. You were on His mind long before everything else. Hello? And because He loved you so much, He made this wonderful playground for us. And when He put us in the garden, what kind of life did He have for us to live? A wonderful, perfect life. I haven't figured this out yet, how long they were in the garden before the crash and all that. I don't know. I don't want to argue about it. I just know that when He made it all, He looked at it and said it was good. And then He made him and He liked him. And then He made her from him. Wow, God was making stuff. And then He told him, kind of go have a good time, and he would walk. Can you... God Almighty walk with him in the cool of the evening? Did any of you take a walk yesterday afternoon? Or last night? Anybody go walk last night? It was so great. It was just one of the greatest evenings we've had lately. The temperature was just perfect. Little breeze. Flowers are still blooming, right? Wind was kind of blowing the snowballs off the snowball tree and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you just kind of look around, and I could just hear the voice of God all over the property last night. You know what He kept saying? I've told you this before. Same thing He told me in Spain. He said, I made that. I made that. See that thing over there? I did that. It's really cool. I start thinking sometimes I'm something. I ain't nothing. Look what He did. I've got some issues with Him about blackberries. If you like to take notes, here's the big close. Five things to close with. Number one, God grants us every spiritual blessing. You can write it down. You can stand on it. You can blow it up on a piece of paper. You can put it on the dashboard of your car. Somehow you can try and remember that God grants to you every spiritual blessing. Number two, He chose us. He chose us. True or false? The Word of God says that He, God Almighty, creator of not only everything but you, chose you. Number three, He laid out His plans. Have you got some plans? That's a fine and dandy thing to have plans. I'm up with two of my grandkids this past couple days, and we couldn't help but ask them. They're 14 and 16. We couldn't help but keep asking them, hey, what subjects do you like, and what do you think you'll be doing, and where will you be when you're 45 years old? I mean, who cares? But we want to know what their plans are. School counselors? How can you counsel somebody who's 16? They don't. Forgive me, I'm going where I don't belong. God is the one who has plans. You would do well to figure out what God's plan was instead of trying to tell God what your plans were. All right. Number four, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. And number five, it says that he has enlightened us. The epiphanies that we seek are available to us. His voice will come to us if we'll just spend some time with him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. He offered his body on the sacrificial altar to bring an end to the laws, ordinances, and dictations that separated Jews from the outside nations. His desire, try and get this, his desire was to create in his body one new humanity from the two opposing groups, thus creating peace. God saw that man had devolved into Jew and Gentile, believer and unbeliever, insiders and outsiders, however it is you want to try, and believers and unbelievers. And Jesus came on that cross in his body to reconcile the whole world to himself. Who's in that reconciliation? We are. What a phenomenal testimony we have. Here's how I can talk to the unbeliever now. I can say, look, you know, I was lost too. I know what it's like to be busted up. Oh, you had trouble with alcohol? I know what it's like to have trouble with alcohol. Oh, you had trouble with gambling? Yeah, boy, do I know what it was like. We can share with the regular man because we are like him, yes? But then we have something to say. But thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ, I found freedom from bondage. I found freedom in Christ. Oh, yeah, well, I know you. You're not so perfect. I've seen, yeah, I know how you are, and they start telling you how you are. You say, you know, God is at work in me. I'm not perfect. I never claimed it. But praise be to God through Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. Father in heaven, we do thank you this morning. I thank you for going before us with the worship selection, the music. It all just seems to confirm what your word was to us this week. Help us to understand your love for us, your inheritance available to us as we continue to learn, even this week again, how to trust in you. And we give you this thanks in Jesus' name.